This is Len Costa with the Stuck My Gavcast reporting for Sun and Fun Radio. Here today I'm joined with Joe Howley, volunteer pilot and chairman of Patient Airlift Services. Thanks for coming on to speak with me today, Joe.
Well, thanks, sir. Thanks for having me.
So tell us a little bit about the organization, you know, how you started and what it's all about.
Well, we're based in Farmingdale, Long Island. We're called Patient Airlift Services, as you said. We're an organization of pilots who volunteer their time to fly patients to hospitals in general, but we have a very broad mission statement that includes not only patients, but military personnel who might need to go home for R&R, or we might even take them to a sporting event. So we have a wide-ranging mission statement, but primarily we're based up and down the East Coast, although we are a national organization. But since we're so young, we obviously haven't been able to get broad enough, and we're here down here with it getting a great response, trying to attract pilots to our organization.
Yeah, wonderful. Actually, when I first stopped in, Brian was telling me about it, and then I talked to him about doing an interview, and he said, well, why don't you come over here and sign up? So I did sign up for, you know, as a pilot. One of the things I was talking to him earlier, again, was a little bit of my, you know, my previous experience with Angel Flight. Mm-hmm. Now, is this sort of similar to what Angel Flight does? What are some of the differences and some of the comparisons?
Sure. Well, we'll just go with some of the comparisons first. We're largely, where we certainly are doing similar things is we're flying patients in need to distant hospitals or different medical facilities. Where we're a little bit different is that we're not geographically bound, whereas the Angel Flights have an Angel Flight Southeast, an Angel Flight Georgia, an Angel Flight West, that type of thing. We are national in scope, and we aren't constricted with finding a patient who might be in Tennessee or Florida or Michigan to help them. So we're more broad in that sense. Additionally, we really look at ourselves as being a pilot organization first, and who are helping people in need, rather than, I think, the Angel Flight model, while a good one, is much more sort of the opposite, where it's where it's an organization that's helping people using pilots. So we think of ourselves as a pilot organization first. We're really trying to make them a part of the organization. They're integral in our success, and we want to make sure that they are first and foremost happy customers, so to speak, and that they understand that we really bring some passion. And I think that's a little bit different as a young organization. We have a tremendous amount of passion. We are different also in that we've done so many flights, I can't tell you, where we've gotten a call at 4:49 on a Friday night where everybody else is going home. We'll get on that for a flight the next day or Monday, and we'll get on the phone and we'll stay to 8 o'clock at night trying to get the flight done. So we don't have any restrictions on when the pilot when the patient can call us or any of that type of thing, where it makes it a little bit more difficult. We're trying to be is a yes organization. We're okay. Really trying to figure out a way to help the pilots and the patients.
Now, you've mentioned a few times that you're a young organization. How long have you guys been around now?
Well, we're less than 2 years old. I consider our startup date to have been Memorial Day of 2010. We started with six of us. Last year at this time, I think we had about 70 pilots. We now have 300 pilots. Just recently, about 2 months ago, we arranged our 1,000th flight, which is pretty remarkable, I think, considering how small we were just 12 months ago. So we're growing rapidly. We're now at the end of March. We've scheduled 350 flights already this year. So we're in a really rapid growth phase, and we've been very fortunate to grow our pilot population with our patient population, which is so important in an organization. You don't want to have too many pilots and not enough patients. You don't want to have too many patients and not enough pilots. So we've done a pretty good job of growing the organization proportionally.
Now, with the organization being so new, you guys have had an opportunity to do some flights. Let me back up a little bit. You know, a business sometimes comes out of one or two problems. Either there's a void to be filled in a market, or sometimes there's something that, you know, someone else isn't doing quite as well. Maybe you could do it better. You know, where did you come up with the idea for maybe a more expanded, better model of, you know, patient airlifting?
Well, the first and foremost, it was just that being in the New York area, strangely enough, really was underserved for volunteer pilot organizations. And we felt we had a little bit of a better model, like I mentioned before, more of a pilot-centric organization. And we felt with all the hospitals and the pilots that we knew in the area that it really was a good place to start from. And since we had a clean slate, we didn't really have any of the other historical prejudices, if that's the right way to say it, or the geographic chunks that other organizations carve out, we said let's try to be everything to all people, you know, to as broad a mission statement as possible. Again, that served us well, but it's also it complicates things because we're not just flying veterans, we're not just flying children, we're not just flying patients, we're flying a broad band of people. And so we have to make sure that everybody we're flying has compelling need and that we're flying for that the pilots are flying indeed someone who needs help. Mm-hmm.
And tell me a little bit about how somebody can actually become a volunteer pilot. Do they also need to have access to their own aircraft or at least, you know, rent one, or what are the requirements?
Well, you don't necessarily have to have access to a plane, to own your plane, or even be in a club, but you do obviously have to have some sense of getting to an airplane. Ones who don't own an airplane who want to help can sign up, and we will try to match them in the air with another pilot who might have a plane. We have a number of CFIs who don't have planes, and what we've been able to do, because they're so generous and want to help, we're matching them up with some pilots who don't have 500 hours, which is our requirement, and match them up. And so you have two pilots. Mm-hmm. The low-time pilot is getting a very experienced CFI to do the flight with them. They're flying in a little bit in the system, a little bit more advanced type of flying for them. And, of course, the patient was being helped,
right,
and has two pilots.
Right.
So one of the ways that we're trying to be a little bit different as well.
Mm-hmm.
We do have a requirement for 500 hours and an instrument rating.
Okay.
But as I mentioned before, if you have a plane and you don't have an instrument rating, or you have an instrument rating on a plane, if you want to help, we have a way to mm-hmm. for you to do that.
Yeah, that actually would be something that I'd be interested in too, because I'm in the same, you know, same aspect. I'm an airline pilot. I'm a CFI, but I'm not an aircraft owner. And there's a lot of these opportunities out there that sort of get away from me because I don't always have access to an airplane. So this portion of your business model does excite me. So where can folks go ahead and, you know, get more information or go to the website to sign up? Is that all online?
Yes, you can sign up online. Like I said, pilots are love to hear from you. It's www.palservices.org. That's Papa Alpha Lima Services.org. And you can call us at our office as well, and the number there is 888-818-1231.
Wonderful. Any last words you'd like to add before we part ways today? Anything more exciting about the organization? Maybe, you know, one of your favorite flights.
Sure. Well, actually, what I didn't mention is we have a fuel waiver from the FAA.
Oh, that's right. That was
and so it's just we forgot to talk about is that what we have is the ability to compensate pilots for the flights. And that is being done now. We've just had our first flight that was done just a couple of days ago. I'm not sure we're the first organization to ever have done it, but we believe we may have been to actually have done an FAA-approved flight where they've passed the course and that they were compensated for it. So it's a very simple process to do that. The funds for the fuels come from money that we have raised from our general fund. And we're very excited about it because we hope what that does is the pilot that might be doing 3 or 4 flights a year will be able to do 8 or 9 flights a year. And so we're very excited about that. As far as any flights that we've done so many flights, but I think, you know, the ones that really have the most lasting impression are many times younger people or the veterans.
Mm-hmm.
And we flew this young man who called us, a young child who the patients found out about us because of our Facebook page, and it was the Friday of Thanksgiving, the Saturday night of Thanksgiving, and they had an appointment on Monday in from Norfolk to New York, and had no way to get to New York to get a brain tumor, and we had 3 pilots who signed up for the flight on a Saturday of Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
We got them up there, and just a month ago, we took the flight. I got to fly him home after he was pronounced NED, which is no evidence of disease.
Mm-hmm.
So that's fantastic, and then. On the military side, I mean, there's been so many stories. What I've done, what our organization has done, is about once a month we've done it to Walter Reed Hospital down in Baltimore, or near Baltimore, I should say. And we take about half a dozen of the wounded veterans who are down there who've been rehabilitated.
We're getting bombed.
We're in an air show. Who have been rehabilitating themselves down there and haven't been able to get out. So what we'll do is go down there and we'll take them to some sporting events. So we've gone to a Pittsburgh Pirate game. We've gone to some sporting events. And there's nothing better than watching these guys kind of get out get out of that hospital and really relax and be and just be regular folk for a while.
Sure,
so it's really, really rewarding.
Any other, you know, things like the fuel reimbursement that you feel help your organization stick out against some of the other, you know, folks out there doing similar actions?
Well, the fuel reimbursement, I think, does
kind of... It sounds like it's a major one.
Well, it is major, but again, like as I said, really circling back to what I originally said, I really do believe that what I saw in other organizations is you didn't really know who the other pilots were in your organization. You're sort of like we're an individual contractor for the organization. We look at it as more like you're in a club, and we want, you know, we have meetings where we want people to know who each other are. We want you to know, you know, that if you can't do a flight, it's not a big deal. We've got others, and for you, or if you need to go somewhere because your plane needs an annual, or you know, you've got friends at your airport or any organization that can help you. And I think that really makes it different, that we're really trying to keep it really pilot-centric and not just sort of an individual flight.
Wonderful. Well, I do appreciate your time. I know I'm excited to follow along and see the information that comes along through my, signing up as a volunteer pilot. Once again, this is Len Costa reporting for Sun and Fun Radio here with Joe Howley at Patient Airlift Services. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
Well, that's great information. Okay, now we're-